Hello, I am Cousin Tigerfeet of Iron Legion. I have name for brass from copper and zinc. Is maybe not strongest metal, but is subtle and good under pressure. You cannot make gun or steam engine without it. The priory with knowledge is good, but hiding away in mountain is bad. Not get things done. And the vigil are fools, heads full of steam, only good for being dead. I follow order of whispers, much more subtle.
Welcome back, everyone, to this 11th episode of Guildcast. This is a very special episode, an extra episode during the week. I'm your host, Sean, and with me, as always, is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hey, I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. We can call this, let's call this the Lick Our Wounds episode, because
The Lick Wound episode.
Yeah, because we got a lot of comments from the last episode about things we said wrong.
We are in a downed state,
and we need that res on our skill bar, right?
Yeah, oh. I need my pet jellyfish to come perform lick wound. And
so we'll just get our companions, and then we'll go ahead
in good
and do
shape.
This. Yeah, people are just having heart attacks everywhere right now. Like, no.
Now I'm laughing because Justin at Massive Boy last night was telling us he saw a comment somewhere. That the Guild Wars pets were stupid because, you know, how on earth would you have a shark on land?
Yeah.
And Justin was like, well, duh, they have wheels.
Duh. So, yeah, what we're going to do, this is going to be a bonus email episode, basically just like last one, but we're going to catch up on a lot of them. And I actually mentioned this last time about not reading every single one of them, but I still wanted to. Well, I'm kind of sticking by that rule a little bit more closely this time because we did have a lot of emails asking us questions which we don't know the answer. So we wanted to just read some of the ones that are like speculation or theories or, you know, things where we can share our opinion. But when we get into facts, that's where we just mess up, huh?
Oh, my gosh.
Screw things up.
Well, and it's... I was talking to somebody this morning. It's one of those, you know, you're talking and somebody says something and then you're like, oh my gosh, I can't remember. That was like 2 months ago. Yeah. And then you're racking your brain going, crap, they said something about companions. What was it?
Yeah, actually, when I read it, what we're talking about is we got a lot of corrections from people saying, you know, there are no companions. Like, stop saying that. There is no res on your skill bar. Stop saying that.
You suck. You
know? Yeah. Well, this it's the kind of thing that, you know, when we're talking and we just say whatever. And then, like, when I read those comments, I was like, wait, I said that? What? Like, oh, yeah, okay. So we're going to read through some email this time and just say, once again, there are no companions in Guild Wars. We're going to make that at the end of every episode. How's that?
Wait, I thought we were saying the release date is not November 2010.
Oh, yeah, we have to add that to it.
Yeah, we need, like, a list of disclaimers at the end of everyone. But, yeah, okay, so we're going to read the emails, and we get in our little talking zone, and sometimes we say wrong things, and we're very sorry.
But
we'll try not to.
That's our charm, right? I mean, I pronounce things wrong. We just say wrong facts. We piss people off. I mean, it's great. It's a good time.
But we have a darn good time doing it.
That's right.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
Yeah, let's start with this first one here. It says, hi, Guildcasters. I'm currently involved in the Nightfall campaign and have not yet begun any of the Warren Kryta content. I find the concept of ArenaNet lengthening the life of the game by adding new quests episodically into an existing campaign quite exciting, and I'm looking forward to playing through the scenario. I know Guild Wars 2 focuses primarily on future Tyria, and as an introduction to that game, it makes sense that the War on Kryta occurs within the Prophecy setting. But now that the war is over, would you like to see ArenaNet release content in a similar manner for Kantha and Alona? Why am I even asking this? I'm sure your answers will be yes, most definitely. Maybe a better question would be, what are the chances that ArenaNet might do something like this? He goes into a different question after that. So let's kind of answer that one first.
Okay. I'd love to see that. I know we kind of know what happens with Canth and Alona. I don't know if we will or not, though. I mean, we're cut off from those countries.
Yeah, I think that's basically the point. You know, in Guild Wars 2, the focus is back to the prophecy side of Tyria, you know, that area at least. I mean, even with Eye of the North, they did that too. And we're cut off from Canth and Alona. And it's all explained, you know, in the lore, why this happened. So that's why, I mean, there's just a giant focus on Kryta. And that's, we're just building up to that. I think that's essentially what it is. I don't think it's really a breakdown of chapter.
Not so much, but on the other hand, I can see, I mean, you know, like with Alona, that was our fault. We let Palawa Joko out. And that essentially brings about the downfall of Alona in the future. My hope and speculation is that sometime down the road after Guild Wars 2 comes out, we will get some sort of expansion involving that, much like we got Nightfall. That's what my fingers are crossed for.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine they'd go through the trouble of telling us all of this lore just to say, and that's why you can't play those.
Yeah. Well, and like he says, you know, maybe a better question would be, what are the chances that ArenaNet might do something like this? I don't know. I think that it's probably pretty high, although Kanta and Alona specifically, I don't know. I think I don't know. What do you think? I mean,
well, I think it's pretty far down the road. I mean, to a point, I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys, we don't even have a release date for Guild Wars 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're really jumping the gun here. But a bigger part of me is going, oh my gosh, what's there going to be? I think there are fascinating, fascinating stories there with Kanta and Alona of the future. That what happens to those two countries? I mean, those are games, those are expansions that we love.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep calling them expansions, and someone's going to yell at
me.
Oh,
no.
Campaigns that we really love. And I know the people at ArenaNet, they love those countries too, and hopefully they want us to see what happens sometime down the road.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm hoping that the books kind of explain, because I think it was a pretty fascinating story of what happened to Kanta in that lore. I hope that one of the books addresses this, maybe the third book, I'm not sure.
Oh my gosh, I'd love to see that.
Yeah. Okay, so the next part of his story, his email here, it says, next I'd like to address one of the emails you read last show. It concerned heroes and whether or not they should be included in Guild Wars 2. The writer of the email hoped that Guild Wars 2 would not have heroes because she preferred to group with real players and felt that heroes detracted from that. In this matter, I would have to take the Bow Turkey Heinemann stand, I don't know what that means, with this or any other optional game enhancing system, fast travel, auction house, etc., if it doesn't contribute to your gaming style or somehow lessens the game experience, you can choose not to use it, including it does not destroy the game. Not everyone plays the same way. These mechanics give players options and makes the game more appealing to a larger variety of players. I tend to play solo. I love the idea of computer-controlled party members. If it was a necessity for me to find a group most of the time in order to advance, there's a good chance my interest in the game would wane. Terrence.
Okay, I have a whole big thing on this, and I'm going to try to rein the rant in a little bit. But I actually, Monday's Flameseeker Chronicles on Massively dealt with this whole hero thing. I'm actually going to do some shameless self-promotion and put that in the show notes. Because, there was some really fascinating discussion in the comments about heroes and what they've done for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Or what they have not done for the game. But my stance on this is pretty much what this guy has said. It's the same argument I made when Shadowform was like the big brouhaha in Guild Wars. If you don't like it, don't use it. Nobody's... Mm-hmm. You're not forced to do that. How this guy over here plays, doesn't have any effect on how I play. I'm going to do my thing, and if I want to play with people, I will. If I don't, I won't, and you do the same. It's okay.
Yeah, I think that it's a pretty polarizing argument, but I think that the side that I can see being the most substantial argument is that, sure, you know, we can choose not to play it. Like, we can say, well, I don't want to play with heroes, so I'm not going to play with heroes. But what the problem, I think, it becomes is when too many other people enjoy heroes, too many other people do play with heroes, so it really it lessens that pool of potential players to group up with if you're that type of player who likes to group up. I think that's the only real argument.
Well, I can see that, but a good alliance is the solution to that, and I have said that until I sound like a broken record, but there are good active guilds and alliances out there, and that is 90% of the reason that I have never once had trouble finding a group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even, and I didn't come in to the game until after Nightfall showed up. I've never experienced the game without heroes. I know, right? I've never experienced the game without heroes, and I have never, ever, I could count on, not to say never, ever, but I could count on one hand the number of times I've not been able to get a group, and I have my alliance to thank for that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not really saying, I mean, I love heroes, but I can kind of see that, the argument there on that side. I'm also kind of a solo player. My thing is I don't like to bother people. Like, even if I'm in an alliance, I don't want to be like...
It drives me crazy when you do that.
I don't want to be like, hey, can anybody help me with this? Because I feel like people probably already have plans and they don't want to... And even if they're being nice, they'll cancel those plans to help me out, and I would feel really bad about that. And I think we've talked about that before. You know, I've had some really amazing guilds and some great groups of friends that I've played with, and... you know, if they're like max level and they're doing high end content, and then I come in with my, you know, level 10 and I'm like, hey, can you guys help me with this? I always feel bad about that. So I think maybe there are other people out there like that who maybe don't want to bug people, don't want to bother people. But at the same time, it's an MMO. You know, that's, I can see why that's the point of it, you know.
Yeah. What's that second letter for again?
Marshmallows, I think.
Yes. See, and those people will give you marshmallows. All you have to do is ask.
Massively now, marshmallows.
Massively marshmallows online. I would totally play that game. I would absolutely, like, end loot is graham crackers and chocolate bars. This is making me hungry. But yeah, that's, I mean, I just don't see how it affects the game. Use them if you want. I don't think they're enough. I don't know. A good alliance is the solution to everything in my world. But I can see the other side of that argument, but I think there are enough ways around that where it doesn't have to matter. Mm.
Okay, cool. Let's read this next email. And this is from Yo. It's a very, very long email. And I actually cut it down a little bit, too. Started out with, about a week ago, I had a little conversation with one of my guildmates about Guild Wars 2 and its progression system. And he's referring to you, actually, right?
Yeah, her name was Ari or something. I don't know.
And how it was one of the few core aspects of the game that we know very little about, and that worries me greatly. So far, we know there are levels. I'm not going to read what he says about that.
He doesn't like
it. Yeah, he doesn't like it. And at least 15 of them. However, whether or not Anet have decided to raise the cap or not is still unknown. And we do not know what the level cap is, nor whether GW1 style of leveling will be preserved. And this far into the development cycle, without knowing even this much, worries me that they might cock it up. Am I supposed to say that?
He's British. I think, yeah. I think being British like precludes anything that might make it sound bad.
It says, if NCSoft have their say. What I mean about style of leveling is this. In Guild Wars, ArenaNet made it no secret that there will be little to no grind whatsoever, while later they introduced titles and faction grinding, but this was mostly optional. By Nightfall, leveling had a pace reminiscent of classic single-player RPGs, whereas you leveled quickly and easily enough over the course of the storyline that it never really became a problem, and you never had to stop what you were doing just to grind levels. In addition, the point of the game was not to level, but just to go through the storyline, unlike damn near every other MMORPG on the market. While this style of leveling and storytelling have problems of its own, it's nowhere near as inane or repetitive as traditional Kool-Aid MMOs are. And it says, this is why he's so worried, essentially. I'm worried that ArenaNet will lose sight of this aspect of Guild Wars, which was something that made it so great in the first place. I don't want to grind in any way, shape, or form, and should Guild Wars 2 go this route, then in short, it is dead to me. I really don't give a flying fig about all the new additions and improvements over the original if they can't get this core issue right. Then I have no interest in what they're selling. I don't want Guild Wars 2 to be a grind like every other effing MMO out there. Wow. However, having said all of this, I don't think it's likely to happen. We're talking about ArenaNet here. While NCSoft poking its nose in concerns me, given that they have a hard-on for grind, both ArenaNet's attitude and business model don't support this. All ArenaNet needs to do is get us in the door, and the best way to do that, in my opinion, is to say that their game has zero grind. Everything else is a bonus. However, I do think it's getting to the point that they need to spell it out, and no one seems to be asking this question either. So I'm asking, are you going to fall into lockstep like every other MMO in the market and have a long, painful grind masquerading as a progression system? What do you two think about this? Am I paranoid or just nuts? And then he finishes it up here. He says, as far as how I would like to see it, I think I would be comfortable with a level 30 cap, provided it worked like it did in Nightfall, as it was there basically as training wheels while you learn how to play the game. And after about 1/4 to a third of the way into the game, you were at cap, so you could just enjoy the game at that point on. There is more to progression than just leveling. Anyway, that's enough verbal diarrhea from me. Keep up the good work and enjoy your new mini vizier. He gave you that?
Yeah, he did.
Awesome.
I love it. I know. I love it. You got to the end, you were like, hey, she got a mini pet.
That's from Yo.
I love mini pets so much, and I love my new vizier. Thank you, Yo. See, he's bribing me with mini pets, but I'm still going to tell him that he is paranoid and nuts.
Yeah, I don't, but see, I really agree with him, and I really see where he's coming from. I remember when titles came out, I really like titles. I think they're great. It's kind of a play on achievements, which I am a big fan of any achievement system, especially like Xbox Live. Wow, they've done it so great. But
stop making me want to buy an Xbox.
But the grind for faction titles and rep and stuff like that, it's something we see in other games. You know, LOTRO is really bad at it, I think. I mean, there are a lot of games that have it really bad. But when Guild Wars kind of introduced this after saying, you know, initially that they weren't going to be that type of game, a lot of people didn't like it. A lot of people left because of that, but there were a lot of people that just ran with it. I don't hate grind. I know a lot of people really, really hate it. And if they have to kill, you know, 10 of anything in one quest, they're quitting. They're not, I mean, Allods Online was like that. I remember, actually, I think Yo sent me an email about that too, because, if I'm not mistaken, it was him.
Yo does not like Allods Online.
Okay, so that was him. Yeah, I talked about Allods Online. I really enjoyed it, and then he was like, "Are you kidding me? This is the same grind that we hate in other games." I think a lot of people don't mind it as much. I think I'm on the fence, but I lean a little bit towards the not liking it side. I can't do it for long. You know, I can do it a little. Yeah. I played Ion for 30 levels, so that's. it's just one of those things where you either like it or you don't, or you can kind of, it won't really bother you, you know, either way. Yo seems to really, really hate it, but I don't think it has as much to do with NCSoft as he's saying. You know, he says NCSoft is notorious for doing this, but that's only because of the style of gameplay that a lot of NCSoft games are. Mm-hmm. In Korea, you know, it's kind of like their game style. It's that part of the country. It's like a cultural thing, I guess, that they really enjoy that grindiness of their MMOs. And it's very successful. I mean, Lineage 2, games like that, even, you know, Ion, Terra is coming from that same type of cultural style of MMO gameplay. So that's what NCSoft is about. And NCSoft is a Korean company. So I think that's where they're coming from with that. You know, Lineage is such a successful game over there, but you bring it over to, you know, the Western civilization, and they say, what? Like, we're not doing this. We hate grind.
Yeah, so everybody's screaming.
Yeah, it's really crazy the difference there. You know, there's a distinct line where, for some reason, you know, geographically, this part of the country does not like the same things that they like geographically in that part of the country. And it I don't know, it's some kind of phenomenon or something, but... So that's where the NCSoft part of it is. And, you know, I'm not really defending NCSoft per se, but it's just that I think that's the explanation.
Cultural thing.
Yeah. So bringing that into Guild Wars 2, I don't think that it's as much of a decision as NCSoft as it is ArenaNet at this point, because ArenaNet is so successful that they, you know, in the Western world, that they're really kind of, you know, they're NCSoft's flagship at this point, I believe. I mean... You know, besides games that NCSoft has created themselves, you know, they're the publisher. They're not really...
The developer.
So right now I think they recognize the fact that Guild Wars 2 is going to be their flagship game. ArenaNet is going to be their flagship developer. And I don't think that they would really want to mess with that too much by saying you have to put grind in there because this part of the country likes it, you know what I mean? Because they recognize the fact that this is more of a Western type of a game.
Oh, absolutely. And if I am remembering correctly, they've actually said there will not be grind.
Yeah. Well, I think Yo's exact point there is that they said that when Guild Wars came out too, and then they brought it in later. And he's saying, please, don't bring it in later in Guild Wars 2, you know, even if you don't have it at first.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think I mind optional grind. I mean, to me, the feeling of, like, the Kurzic and Luxon titles, it's a little optional something. I mean, my gosh, it's not in any way, shape, or form core to the game. But it's a nod to those who are into that sort of thing, because they do exist.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't, and this is coming from someone, the Kurzic title will be my 30th title. And I still don't mind. So I should be biased, but it just, it's not a significant enough part of the game to matter to me.
Mm-hmm. I think every MMO by nature has some sort of grind. I think it's mainly how you define it. You know, if you have to kill 10 rats, and then you have to go back and get 10 rat tails, and then you have to go back and get 10 rat heads, and then you have to go back and kill the rat boss, and then to get to the boss you have to kill 40 rats.
Yeah.
That's a very traditional way of doing things in MMOs, and I think it's kind of an easy way to do it. It's an easy way to add content, and we're getting more intelligent, though. Like, we want more than that. So I think games in general...
They want to bring back the whole rat.
Yeah. So I think games in general are getting better at this, and Guild Wars 2, you know, and ArenaNet have already said that they recognize this flaw in quests, and they, you know, they recognize that this is not the way people want to play MMOs anymore. So I think that I really have hopes that, you know, high hopes that they are taking that part of it out of it.
I do too. And, you know, as far as that kind of thing goes, I trust ArenaNet. This is a thing where I'm willing to just sit back and say, you guys know your stuff, mm-hmm. Do it and show me when it's done.
Yep. All right. Let's go to this next email. It says, hey, Ruby and Sean, this is Angel, a.k.a. Kawhi, the Ranger Monk again. Just had a thought. My monk ranger has her hall full, of course, referring to Hall of Monuments. What will come of that now that there is no monk class in Guild Wars 2? Did I just waste my time? I mean, my main is the ranger monk, but I farmed out the wazoo with my monk when 55 was popular, just before all the boots showed up. Also, I heard something a while back about how Guild Wars was dealing with the bots in-game. I forget what the name of their bot killer was, and I tried to Google it to get more information, but it turned up a waste. Can you share some more information about that with us? I'm just interested in it. If it is what I think it is, then boy is ArenaNet ahead of the MMO industry. Think about how many people are looking at Guild Wars and saying, the times have changed and we could learn a lot from a new non-WoW clone. Well, let's do the first issue there. The Hall of Monuments doesn't play as big of a part as they said before, right?
Right, and I do not see it being class-specific.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that that's pretty much the important thing there, is that it's not going to be class-specific, because I'm sure they already thought about that, you know, like...
Well, we're going to have two new classes. What are they going to do? Just, ha-ha, you guys don't get anything.
Yeah, yeah. So, aside from the fact that they've said that this is not going to essentially be what it was before, we still don't know everything about it. You know, they have something in mind. It's one of those things that they haven't really talked about yet. But I'm actually really excited about this, because it was supposed to be one of those features that came out at first where they said, you know, we're going to hook the Hall of Monuments is going to hook Guild Wars 1 and Guild Wars 2 together, and it's going to be retroactive. And this was very exciting. And now they're like, just hold off on that for a minute, because we have something else, you know, we're going to explain. So we don't know. But yeah, I would speculate that they are not going to be class specific, definitely.
Yeah, I just can't imagine how that would work. I mean, we're losing classes and gaining classes. You can't just leave out half the gaming population with something that people have been this excited about for this long.
Yep. And then for the second question, are they referring to Doom?
I think they are referring to Doom, and this was the coolest thing. I loved this so much. A gigantic Doom showed up in game and started taking out bots with his scythe. He would swing his scythe, the bot avatar would fall down dead, and it was a flaming corpse. And that account was, and that was the banning of that account. If you were lucky enough to be in the right outpost at the right time, you got to watch.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And they took out thousands of accounts like this.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Awesome.
See, Ion did that too. I always talk about Ion, but Ion did that too. Except they had a little like they would blow up the gold farmers, and they had an NPC who would run around and do that, which is really, really cool. So maybe it's like someone in NCSoft thought that this would be a great idea, or you know, I mean, Ion and Guildwars actually share a few different things. Like they had the wings thing for a while there.
I love the wings.
Yeah, where you could get the wings when you ordered, you pre-ordered Ion, I think it was. So yeah, I think that is. It is a fun way of doing it. I think it brought a lot of attention to them the way that they did that. So yeah, I hope other people do that.
And if I actually think we wrote that up on Massively because I was very excited about that.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Okay, so this next email says, "Hey Ruby and Sean, just going alphabetically. I have the show on right now as I'm writing. The spoilers from the book have been spectacular, and it sounds so great. I can't wait to read it myself. I have chills right now because it sounds so good. Also, for the first time in ever in 5 years, I just thought a necro sounds cool. Normally, I refer to them as filthy necro scum." Wow, that
You know
hurt.
what?
It
You
hurt
know
right
what?
here.
Today's episode image needs to be a screenshot of Alina and BBQ so they could see how pretty necros are.
Yeah, our two necros. He goes on and says, "Anyways, just wanted to say that the show was great, and I find it so amazing how every week it just keeps getting better. Good job. Sent in this email form because I didn't want to leave a comment with spoilers in it, so feel free to not read it on the show as there are a bunch still to read. And the extra damage versus ghosts sounds cool. Maybe I will mod my Uber sword of Uberness with that." That's from Crisco. Yeah, and we of course, the book has released now. It released yesterday, as of the time we're recording this. And we still, you know, I'd still love to do that book club thing, that idea. I think that would be cool. And once Ruby reads it, we can talk about it a little bit more too, kind of like our favorite parts and all that.
You know what? I'm on chapter 8, so
Oh, cool.
yeah, I'm excited. I'm getting there.
Cool.
They're in Lion's Arch right now.
You just spoiled it all.
I know, I spoiled the whole thing. And Rurik was there.
Actually, no, never mind. I won't.
Ah.
So,
We're going to pause this whole thing while I go finish the book.
okay. So this next email says, "Hi. Perhaps guilds will be character-based because they will be dependent on race. Maybe there will be exceptions, but it seems to me that char would team up with other char, Savari with Savari, etc." And that's from Rune King. Rune King. Yeah, that's another one of those speculation things we mentioned, kind of. Offhand was about guilds and how they'll be, you know, what they'll be dependent on and how they'll work out. Again, it's one of those things we don't know for sure, and the only thing we can do right now is speculate.
You know, I'm inclined to speculate that they will not be dependent on race, though, solely because of Destiny's Edge. Destiny's Edge was a guild, and they had all five races.
Yeah, and that's our example right there.
That's all I have. I mean, ArenaNet's not said anything, but that's my guess.
You know what's funny is, well, what's really funny is I'm going to talk about another game right now, but what's funny is in Fallen Earth, they have factions, like a faction wheel, and they've tried doing this where they let other factions be in the same clans with each other. And a lot of people don't like that. You know, they get really upset about the fact that you can have, essentially the way it works is there's a wheel of factions, and the opposite sides of the wheel are mortal enemies of each other, while the factions on the sides of the wheel are kind of enemies. They're like, you know, you tolerate them. So people are like, why should we be in the same clan as the opposite side of the wheel? Like, that doesn't make any sense that we're kind of friends. So people want faction-specific clans. And the Fallen Earth guys, are, you know, the developers are kind of like, no, that's not the way we want to do it. But people are really upset about it. So it's this eternal conflict that goes on about having same faction versus opposing factions in the same clan. So I, you know, coming to Guild Wars 2 with this same idea, I don't think that that's as much of an issue because they're kind of joining together to get the dragons. You know what I mean? It's not, I mean, sure, the char don't really like humans and the other way around, but I think that. I think it, well, first of all, I think it would get too complicated to kind of have exclusives like that. And you know, if your friend wanted to play a char and you want to play a human, you wouldn't be able to be in the same guild together. You know, that's it kind of it takes away from the whole massively multiplayer thing, you know.
Yeah, it does. They're there's a common bigger enemy that we're more worried about in Guild Wars 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, I never understood the wheel in Fallen Earth until just now. I was really interested going, oh, okay.
I think it's a really great system, actually. And I think more games need to do that. Yeah. But, yeah, so there you go. That's our speculation on that. Feel free to comment if you think we're wrong. Like, I need to tell anyone to do that?
Yeah, I don't think that's an issue. I think that'll happen.
Okay, this next email is addressed only to you. Hey, Ruby. This is Jex. This subject may not relate to the topic of your podcast. I actually just finished the fourth one. But I was talking to my friend a week or two ago about the persistence world that Guild Wars 2 has. You see, he's one of the people who really likes instances, which is part of the reason why he played Guild Wars 1. Now, he's iffy on getting Guild Wars 2, because it is persistent. He doesn't like it because of griefing. I told him how ArenaNet is fixing that and the ways that they are fixing it with the concept of karma and giving out equal rewards to those who work to kill the same monster. But he shrugged me off and said that people will always be able to find a way to grief because there will be so many players and only 200 people in ArenaNet to work to fix the griefing problems. He just doesn't like persistence of traditional MMOs. Can you come up with any more things that I can tell him to possibly change his mind? What do you think?
Well, I think that on one hand, people will always find new ways to be an asshat. Can I say asshat?
You just did.
Okay. On the other hand, the people at ArenaNet are gamers, and they are good. And they hate this griefing thing as much as you do. Mm-hmm. So, again, give them a chance. Just trust them. They've been at this for a long time. Give it a chance, because they're doing a lot of revolutionary things here. See what they're going to do. Just try it and see if they can keep ahead of the asshattery.
And if they find that formula, let me know, because I will.
No kidding. They'll make more money off that than any game.
I think one of the big points here is that, you know, the three co-founders of ArenaNet started, you know, they broke off from Blizzard. These guys worked on the Warcraft stuff and, you know, Diablo, and they got away from that because they hated the way MMOs were, you know, with griefing and stuff like that. They hated seeing that, and they wanted to do something different. You know, that's where Guild Wars came from. So the instancing was for that reason. You know, they feel your pain. They don't want to have griefing in there as well. The fact that they're introducing persistence now is not in the entire game. It's only in, you know, part of it. And I imagine, like you said, knowing ArenaNet, that they are working for ways around the griefing problem, because they're not just going to give up on that and say, yeah, we're just going to go ahead and make a game with griefing because, you know, World of Warcraft is so popular. But they recognize that, and they're trying to do what they can. That said, there still are going to be a lot of instanced areas, you know, to where you won't have to worry about that. There still will be certain parts that will, you know, kind of be exclusive to you, where you don't have to worry about people running up and doing things like this. With the karma system, exactly like you mentioned, that is another way they're doing it. And who knows what else they have up their sleeve.
Absolutely.
Okay, so his email goes on and it says, but on a brighter note, when the Ranger was released and he saw the skill videos, I forgot that he said that he probably wouldn't get the game, and I asked if the Ranger is what he would play, and he said probably. So it's possible that he could have changed his mind, but I would still want some help on this. By the way, Sean was both right and wrong on his Ranger speculation. It is more of a pet class, but it also handles the bow part.
Well, there you go.
There I go. Yeah.
Okay, so Jex's friend, you need to give it a chance, because so far they've shown that they're pretty good at staying ahead of this stuff. I mean, my gosh, they sent in Doom to take out bots.
Plus,
you can't get better than that.
We have plenty of time to learn more about this. I mean, before the game actually goes on sale, I'm sure they'll address something like this.
But yeah, and you need to play with your friend, because it's fun like that.
Okay, next email. Dear Guildcast crew, and that's K-R-E-W. Nice. With the official reveal of the Ranger, we now know that the Ranger appears to be limited to bows for their ranged weapon. This leads me to believe that we'll see a class that is more dedicated to the more modern weapons. A gunslinger archetype is one that I have yet to see in most of the modern MMOs. Do you think this class would be redundant with the ranger, or do you think it would fill a niche that the players didn't know was missing? I also wanted to hear your thoughts on the ranger being limited to the longbow and the shortbow. My personal favorite bow for Guild Wars 1 was the recurve. Do you think we'll see the return of all five bow types, or will the long and short bow be our only options?
I'm going to let you take the first question, because I have some thoughts on the second one.
Okay, about the gunslinger, I would absolutely love to see a gunslinger. again, other games here I'm going to mention. I used to play Tabula Rasa, and I used to do a podcast on Tabula Rasa, and they had pistols, and I always said on that podcast I did, I always said, I want to see dual pistols. You know, I would love to see that, like a gunslinger thing, kind of like Dark Tower, Stephen King's books. I would love to play Roland, you know what I mean? And they actually introduced dual pistols about a month before they closed down. Which is funny. But there's another game called Aka by G-Potato, and they have a dual gunslinger class. There are a couple other games too, but I like the way they do it because they kind of have some finesse with the guns. Like the character pulls them out and kind of fires one over the shoulder and then kind of flips the other one around. And like they have these different animations for how you do it, and it's really a lot of fun. I really enjoy that. In Fallen Earth, they have a dual pistol ability, or you know, you can have two pistols in your hands and you alternate mouse clicks, so you go right and left mouse click, and that is which gun you shoot, so you're shooting, you know, right and left, and I think that's brilliant. So taking all these elements from these other games and adding them in would be kind of one of my ultimate classes. I would love it. I would really love that. So yes, gunslinger archetype, absolutely. But the question is, are they going to do that in addition to, you know, in addition to the ranger? I don't know. We do know that that there are going to be rifles, kind of a sharpshooter kind of a thing. I think, I don't know if it's another email we got in this batch, I'm not sure, but I remember glancing across a few emails, and one of them was talking about a sharpshooter class, and how they were speculating on that. Maybe that's one we'll get to later, but I would love to see that as well. Kind of like a sniper in Guild Wars?
Well, we are going to have pistols. Pistol is a one-handed weapon in Guild Wars 2, so.
Yeah. I just mean like dual pistols, you know, like a...
That would be awesome.
Cool. Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Hopefully one-handed indicates that you could have one in each hand.
Yeah.
I would love that. I think it'd be fun. And I played with pistols in Fallen Earth a little bit. I tend to fall back on my meat cleavers. No, seriously. But the pistols were pretty fun. I had a good time with those.
Yeah. So what about this bow thing?
Well, you know, it does say longbow and shortbow. My initial thought is that they're not going to add anything. They're not going to add any more weapons. And that's just because in Guild Wars 1, the only time we got a new type of weapon was with a new class. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, you have your basic staff. You have these kind of bows, and you don't get anything else. But I think maybe you're going to be able to mod those two bows for slightly different utility as we go. So yeah. I don't see them getting a couple months in and all of a sudden say, oh, ha, here's a recurve bow. We just didn't tell you.
I think also it might have a lot to do with the fact that skills are now attached to items. Maybe it would be kind of redundant to have all of these different types of bows. You know, maybe there are different skills with the short bow versus the long bow. I don't know.
That could be, and I'm not sure how weapon mods are going to work overall. I don't think they've actually given us details on that. Mm-hmm. But I think there will be things you can do to make them a little bit versatile. I can't imagine. I mean, the ranger is absolutely an incredible class in Guild Wars 2 from what we've seen. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine they're just going to leave us saying, okay, you can shoot close and you can shoot far away. That's all.
Yeah.
What a waste.
I think we guessed on that one enough, didn't you say?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so this next one says, hey, Sean and Ruby, thanks for talking about the book. I didn't have the means to buy it, and in all honesty, I wasn't really planning to. And this was a great way to get up to date with the story. So thanks for that. Right, before I sent my previous email, I wasn't quite sure how much I was able to talk about the war in Crida, but seeing you both covered that quite a bit in episode 9, I'll rant on about it. A lot of speculation ahead. First off, this is definitely not the end of the White Mantle. An organization and, in fact, religion that has been so well established is not going to vanish through the course of one war. We need to remember that although a lot of Crichton locals despise the Mantle due to their oppressive behavior over wealthier, luckier, or more devout individuals would have the means to stay clear of this and actually enjoy protection of the Mantle and might see the disappearance of the Mantle as a threat. Wow, that's a sentence. The Mantle, I suspect, will transform into more of a cult-like organization or shadow organization. So the roles of White Mantle / Shining Blade have been pretty much reversed. Next to the White Mantle, we have to remember the Mersat. The Mersat, although their numbers have diminished after the Flameseeker prophecies, they're still around, and it is suspected, rumored, that they'll be around in Guild Wars 2 as well, which, if you want to believe Lazarus the Dire, is quite likely. And there's a quote here. It says, "Countless generations will suffer for your actions this day, after the completion of the Justicar's end." If the Mersat are still present in Guild Wars 2, then it's very probable that the White Mantle will also exist in one form or another. Although this is based on nothing, my gut feeling tells me that the Mersat might look less divine than they did in Guild Wars 1 due to their race reaching its twilight. Lastly, nothing but speculation. Giant's Basin, explorable area. We know Thackeray swam across Giant's Basin and might have been captured. I'm anxiously waiting, hoping, for ArenaNet to open up Dementra as an outpost, now that the White Mantle have been driven out of Kryta, and from there be able to enter Giant's Basin, where a quest will become available to rescue Thackeray from a family of angry bears he tried to juggle. There's definitely enough space around the Giant's Basin to make it an explorable area or two. It's just a question, will Anet be bothered? Who knows, with the amount of content they've been throwing at us, I'm actually holding a slight hope for this development. Like I said, though, just speculation and a lot of hope. See you around and hope to hear from you soon. Oramir Elmaldir.
Elmaldir?
Elmaldir.
I don't know, but the thought of a quest to rescue Thackeray has got me so excited. I did not think of that, and that would be really awesome.
But what I want to know is, will you have the option to just let him drown? I mean,
you wish. No, because then you will not get your Ebon hookup.
Yeah, then it would be, again, like Back to the Future, where the picture disappears.
Ebon, I can't call it Ebon Hawk. Oh, my gosh. Ebon Hawk will disappear. It'll start flickering in and out of existence.
Yeah.
You know what? I think a quest to rescue Thackeray is an amazing idea.
Yeah.
I would really, really like to see that.
We know ArenaNet listens, so there you go.
Please, you guys, please, please, please. And I know they love it when you ask them to create, like, hey, just make this instance for me.
Yeah.
If you could just do that real quick, that'd be great. I know they like that.
Yeah, if you guys have, like, a spare minute or two, if you guys could do that, that'd be great.
It's just writing a little bit of code. It's not that big of a deal. I think we've covered all the horrible things that people say. You know, a lot of this makes sense. And let's see, I'm kind of looking through here. I can't imagine that people that were White Mantle supporters or White Mantle members will just say, oh, okay, yeah, let's all be friends. I can see them skulking in the forest.
I don't know. The Char and the humans.
Are still a little testy with one another.
Yeah,
I did get to the part in the book where Dougal called the one Char Kitty. Stay here, Kitty. I was like, oh, you did not just do that.
Good stuff. So, good stuff.
Yeah. He said something about, was it the Mersat that look a little bit less divine? I can't find it, but yeah. Like, so their feet kind of drag on the ground a little bit now. They don't quite float as much.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go on to this next email here. We're like halfway through these. We have so much to cover. Hello. First of all, I'd like to thank you for a great show, both in the past and recently. I've been playing Guild Wars 1 since the release of Factions, but I still have listened to all old Guildcast episodes from the very beginning. I actually found it very interesting to hear what it was like in the past, and it's amazing how the game has evolved over time. Around the release of Prophecies and World of Warcraft, I had a friend of mine talk about buying Guild Wars at the release and play together from the start, but then an older brother of another friend that was playing the beta informed us that we couldn't play Guild Wars if we weren't at least a dozen of friends, Without looking any further into that, we decided to pick up WoW instead. So I want to officially state that I hate myself for that.
I'd hate that guy. Jeez.
I remember when Guild Wars first came out, this isn't in the email, but when Guild Wars first came out, and I was talking to this friend of mine at work, and I said, hey, have you ever, because I knew he played World of Warcraft, and I said, hey, have you ever played Guild Wars or heard of it? And he's like, what? That sounds stupid. You need to play World of Warcraft. Like, he was so angry, and I was like, okay, I'm going to play Guild Wars then.
Because you're frightened.
Yeah. Okay, he goes on and says, anyway, now I'm really excited about jumping on the Guild Wars 2 train right at the beginning. My first question, maybe I'm a crappy researcher, but I can't find any info on the possibility to buy shares in ArenaNet. If that's possible, I'll jump on before Guild Wars 2 and probably stay in far beyond Guild Wars 3. Considering the hype around Guild Wars 2, it's awesome that they're already working on Guild Wars 3. Wait, what?
Oh, no.
Wait, what? Wait.
I didn't mean to say that, okay? Never in a million years are we going to hear the end of this.
I know. I'll invest my life savings in that if possible. I don't know anything about that. I would imagine it's just handled under NCSoft. I think they're publicly traded. But ArenaNet, I don't think they are.
Yeah. But NCSoft, you could look into that.
Yeah. Actually, that's a pretty good idea. But anyway, my second question about weapons. In Guild Wars 1, it's quite easy to obtain a max damage weapon early in the game, and I really like that about Guild Wars. You don't have to farm new gear all the time, but can instead enjoy the feeling of having a perfect gear for your build and setup. So it's a keeper in my eyes. But I'd like to see the concept of DPS to be introduced in Guild Wars 2. I'm talking about varying the max damage and attack speed for perfect weapons, but still keeping a max DPS for each different weapon type. Example, a perfect sword with very high damage will have a lower attack speed than another perfect sword with less damage, but in the end, both weapons have the same DPS. This would make the pick of a weapon for a build even more interesting, where you have to choose between burst damage or fast attacks. Your thoughts on the matter are highly appreciated. Sorry for the long post. Feel free to leave things out as you wish. Thanks again for a great show. Love from Sweden. And then he gives his name and he says, make sure to read my name. Ha ha. It's Gustav Hallström. How's that?
You looked that up ahead of time.
No, I didn't.
That was way too good.
It's not hard. It's not... It has vowels in it, so I can read it.
Okay. So, you're so happy with vowels.
Yes. So, yeah, about the damage. Again, you know, not a lot of details on that, on the exact burst damage versus fast attacks and DPS and all that. Do you know anything about any of the details on this?
I actually do not. The only thing, and I know I keep doing this, but this is something we talked about before, there are so many unknowns in Guild Wars 2 that I seem to keep falling back on what we can do now and wondering if that's going to be some sort of building block, because there are so many skills now that will speed up your attacks. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I wonder if they're going to go with that.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know.
Yeah, again, it's one of those that we'll have to wait and see. And, you know, we talked last episode about getting in developer questions, and we have a ton. Like,
oh, my gosh, yeah.
We're not going to read those in this show, of course, but we still have to submit them to Arena, and I'm going to do that at the end of this week. So if you still have a few you want to get in, go ahead and email me by the end of this week, and we'll send them in. And hopefully in the next few episodes we'll get those answers. But that's one that you need to ask them, you know what I mean? Although I really don't think they're going to answer it at this point because they haven't already talked about it. But you never know. Sometimes it's surprising. We're told not really to ask questions that haven't already been touched on, or at least subjects that haven't already been discussed. But we read interviews all the time where people ask questions and it's like, wait a minute, that wasn't announced. They just announced that just now in this interview with Bob's MMO Shack and Bait Shop?
Bait Shop, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, wait, how did they, it drives us crazy. So you never know. I mean, they might answer some of these questions, and which would be awesome.
You know, ArenaNet loves to slip in a new tidbit or two of information in almost every interview.
Yeah, yeah.
They just sneak in those little bits and pieces. And I think that's why everybody is so meticulous in going through these interviews. They're like, all right, there were eight commas in that paragraph. And what does it mean? But no, they are. I mean, there's always some little new thing snuck in there.
Yeah. And that's a good thing.
It drives us crazy.
Yeah, in a good way.
Yes.
Okay, this next email is from Tankcaster. It says, hey, this is Tankcaster, the infamous person who probably got people to assume you don't like Rangers or something.
Hi, Tankcaster. Thanks a lot.
I finally got back on the day after the Ranger was formally announced to be a class. Internal bummer, she says. I'm not really sure if you are interested, but I found something quite interesting on the wiki. Basically, it's a whole section on Guild Wars Wiki regarding character customization from the eyes of the fans. I have the link here if you want to check it out. We'll put that in the show notes, and I always say that and only do it sometimes.
I'll do it this time, I swear.
She says, when I saw this, I almost squealed. It says, quote, having a wider range of customization options for characters would greatly satisfy the large numbers of players who are either picky about their character's appearance or are trying to recreate specific characters from either a movie, another game, or even real life. The character creation engine in the original Guild Wars series gives some, but not a great deal of flexibility. To allow for more specific customization, the character creation should be divided into a number of different rooms for editing different aspects of the character. The different rooms would be as follows. And then I guess that was the end of the quote there, but... and she goes on and says, it's amazing how people manage to come up with these things. In other news, since Guild Wars came out, I've been thinking of making a webcomic. Since I've never really gotten into it, I was wondering if it was a good idea making one for Guild Wars 2 as well. I'm hoping it will be somewhat of a comedy type thing with jokes from the old Guild Wars that probably no one would get unless they've ascended. Nothing too amazing. Anyways, I'm really glad the show's still up. I can't say how much I appreciate you guys for talking about these things. Oh, well, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Okay, so a couple points here to address. There are different rooms for editing for your different for character customization.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, they have rooms in quotes, so that's why I'm a little skeptical.
Well, I think it's just compartmentalization. Just, you know, you go over here and focus on this little area for a while, and then you can come back into this section and focus on this over here. Mm-hmm. I think making character creation, there absolutely needs to be more diversity, more choices in their character creation, and it's something that we're looking forward to.
Yeah.
I just don't think, I don't know about getting that into it. I mean, I love the sliders and the choices and everything, but I think if you break it down into some gigantic tree, it's going to be too much.
Yeah, I think Ion did a good job with it, and maybe that's something they'll borrow from them. But yeah, the original Guild Wars had very, very limited, but I mean, that's the way games were back then, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big deal back then, and now it's like everybody needs customization. Mm-hmm. We can all thank City of Heroes for that, I think.
Thanks a lot, City of Heroes. Well, and you know what? Guild Wars, I think, has stepped up within the confines of what they're able to do right now by adding the makeovers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe that's an indication that, you know, that will be available later. So, yeah. And this other point, about the webcomic. Yeah, I love webcomics. I love kind of, I don't know if Tankcaster's aware or if other listeners out there are aware, but I used to do that Guildcast Theater thing, which, you know, of course it wasn't a webcomic, but it was like a little video series and it was like connected. At first it wasn't, but it kind of, there was a storyline that was kind of going through it. And I really enjoy that stuff because I think that it's fun for people to, you know, especially if you know, like she's saying, you won't know unless you're ascended. I think it's funny when you kind of have those little inside jokes for people who have really played Guild Wars for a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? So, yeah, I say go for it. I would love to read that.
Guildcast Theater was awesome, by the way. I miss Guildcast Theater.
I need to get that. I'm not sure. I think it's on YouTube. But I need to get that.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Yeah. Good times. Master Togo. The Adventures of Master Togo.
Nobody misses Master Togo.
Good times. Yeah, actually, I was watching those again after I was editing or uploading those old episodes.
Yeah.
And I was like kind of chuckling a little bit at some of those. And it's like, man, I can't. Some of this is, it's so funny to think that I was doing this, you know, 5 years ago. And,
yeah. Oh, they're so good.
Anyway, okay. So yeah, this next email says, hi, Sean and Ruby. Oh, it actually says hi, Ruby and Sean. I changed that. Just thought I would drop a line, a quick line, to mention something I spotted and maybe an interesting source of conjecture. The Guild Wars 2 wiki timeline gives the date for the end of the war in Kryta as the year 1079 AE. In 1080 AE, King Adelburn of Ascalon recalls the Ebon Vanguard. Ebon Hawk is established. Only 1 year later, maybe only a few days if the war ended at the back end of 1079. And Ebon Hawk was early 1080. Could this be the theme of future content, do you think? Cheers, Jack.
I would really, really love to see that, because there are a few loose ends in the War in Kryta that need to be tied up, and King Adelburn is one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know, I feel like it's lame just to say, ooh, that's a really good point, but it is.
And we know we'll be in Ebon Hawk, right? Mm-hmm. In Guild Wars 2, because we've seen the map from Ghosts of Ascalon, and they talk about Ebon Hawk quite a bit in there. And actually, there's quite a big focus on Ebon Hawk, even in the lore that we hear. You know,
well, so. It's one of the two major human cities, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know, I'm interested, I'm kind of speculating in my head now how this might go, because, you know, you've got the Ebon Vanguard up there, and Adelburn certainly didn't pitch in to help with the war in Kryta, so maybe he's ticked off and he's going to call the Ebon Vanguard back and say, you know what, we're not having anything to do with these people out here.
That's true. It's very possible.
Oh, now I gotta know. I want to know.
I have a feeling we'll find out in the books.
Oh, I want to find out in the game too, though.
Well, I mean before the game, but yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so this next email, hey there, Guildcasties. First off, thanks for a great podcast. Still insist on you having two a week, but I'm greedy by nature. Well, you'll be happy this week then.
Okay, well, technically we do have two a week, just one of them is massively speaking.
That's true. a quick summary on some thoughts I've had. No need to spend valuable airtime to read all of it, Sean. Well, I'm going to read it anyway. Okay, and actually, the reason I wanted to read a lot of this is because a lot of this is correcting us from last episode, so it's very pertinent. Res skill. ArenaNet has never claimed a skill slot will be occupied by a res skill. They have said that when near a defeated ally, you will be able to resurrect them. Most likely, it will be a triggered skill, such as the weapon skills or world object skills that are affected on what's in your hands. Also, missing healers. You can be support, but you don't have to sacrifice your entire game looking at health bars. If you are good at your profession, you can be support, DPS, and control, depending on situation. So it's a matter of how good of a player you are, not what was chosen when starting the tune, if you will survive the dungeon or not. And it makes sense. That's actually a good way of saying it.
Yeah, it is.
Five-man teams, this only applies to instance areas. In the persistent world, your entire 70-man guild can play together as there is no need for teaming up in order to complete an event. Scaling, to scale an event doesn't have to mean that there are more enemies. ArenaNet said that a scaling can be made with changing an enemy's skills on the fly. So if a lot of LEs fight, perhaps the giant boar will get more interrupts or elemental defenses. With regards, Felidin, Windlore, Sweden. And then he goes on here, explains it a lot more, which is pretty much, I mean, I think the gist of it he got in the first part of that email, but, yeah, and this again there's another one actually correcting us on the things we got wrong, which I want to read because I want to make sure that people understand, you know, the truth.
That we were wrong.
Yeah, the facts and everything on what we got wrong, but, so yeah, this basically touches on those facts, those points, and kind of explains them a little bit. So, there you go. And then this next email says, hello, insert name order here. People are really taken off with that, aren't they?
I know, I get a kick out of it.
First time responder from your audience. I'd love to say that I was one of those people who listened to you forever and ever, but I just didn't listen to podcasts when I first started playing Guild Wars. I've been playing since August of the game's release with a very large hiatus from between the release of Factions to the release of Eye of the North. If you need to call me by a name, the name of my main, Ryan Galen, will do, since I normally use him when I'm in the mood to feign schizophrenia on the internet anyways. Wow. First off, I'm going to risk putting my foot in my mouth by saying that while I love listening to your podcast, it's mostly for the enjoyment of hearing people talk about the news rather than getting the news. Usually I already know what the subjects are probably going to be, and sometimes I hear what screams as an incorrect answer. Here we go. Last week's answer to the companion question was one of these. You're probably going to read this information 12 times before you get to my email, but well, I actually didn't include all of those. I opted to just pick a couple here. But we already know that we aren't getting companions. It was officially announced in the ArenaNet blog Q&A back in May. Just follow the link and scroll down to the third to last question. Yeah, actually, we covered that on Massively. I'm just a big idiot, so.
You are now. You quit.
It says, I have no questions for you, and since my subject wasn't flagged as such, I'm hoping you weren't expecting any. Just wanted to add that I completely understand Ruby's point about having friends in-game, while at the same time, I'm probably one of the biggest soloists around. I soloed a Disc Priest in WoW back before Disc Priests were cool, if that gives you any perspective. Guilds are nice, but a person can only support so many social networks online before they burn out, and there are already a lot of ways to experience burnout. I'm currently on burnout from Guild Wars because I know I'm going to have to attempt the Battle of Lion's Arch, and it only gets worse the more time goes on, since I know all the good players have probably migrated past that content by now, and I'm going to be left with uninfused assassins and people who can't understand why I can't heal a 6-man group of gimmick builds with me as the only healer. Preach on. So yeah, I'm going to leave that in, but otherwise cut the rant off. Well, too late. Good work, and I will be listening. Actually, no, I read your whole email because I really liked it. I thought it was... brought up some good points, and yeah, the companion thing, as he points out, back in May they talked about this, and I just completely forgot about it. It's like I was holding on speculation because I was so excited for companions, you know, and it was like, oh yeah, I was in denial about the loss of companions.
We announced the spelling of my name back in May too, and he still got that wrong.
Oh,
I could not help it. I couldn't resist.
That's actually that's a really good point because. Okay, so here's my own little rant on that. I'm getting all you guys back for this, for telling us how stupid we are for the companion thing. Well, not this email, but other comments. So when you email shawn at guildcast.com and then you start it out with, hi, S-E-A-N.
It's what? Very confusing to us. You just got it right.
I don't understand. Okay.
These are very hard names to spell.
Yes. So that was my little rant there.
Okay. So and I already got mine out. I got my zing out.
But we love you guys. We really do.
We love you bunches. But seriously, it's right at the top of the podcast.
So yeah, we, you know, again, the companions thing was already said not to be there. The res skill thing and the skill bar not there. What else did we get wrong last week?
So much. We're actually going to have to flog ourselves and have some sort of public tarring and feathering. Yeah. I think the res skill, I think you mentioned the res skill and then the companions thing. That was like, those were huge.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah. So, for whatever we got wrong in this email, make sure to leave a comment or email us. And that's actually all the emails we had, which was kind of cool. This went, we're all caught up. I mean, I'm so excited.
I know, we made it to the end.
And there are a ton of email that we're going to send out to the a ton of questions we're going to send out to the what are they called again? Developers?
Yeah. The developer.
I couldn't think of the word. So we're going to get that out, hopefully. What's funny is they don't know about this yet, so it's going to work out really well. They're going to be like,
if any of them are listening, they're like, oh crap, tell them I'm not in.
I know you guys are listening. So we'll get to that soonish, and hopefully get a lot of your questions answered. And another thing we want to mention, of course, we're going to be doing another show in a couple of days here, our regular show. But I wanted to mention some pretty cool news that there was an interview with Jeff Grubb from Comic-Con, and he said that we can expect another class reveal before PAX and Gamescom, which are coming up in only a few weeks. So
I can't wait.
Yeah, so we can start the speculation on that next show, huh?
Oh my gosh. Oh, I have speculation. I'll save it for, what is today, Wednesday? I'll save it for Friday, but I've got speculation.
Awesome.
I got a book to finish too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Very cool. So yeah, that's all we have for this episode, but like I said, a couple more days, we'll have another one. We can talk about the news and what's going on in Guild Wars 1 and 2. But if you want to email us, it's Sean, S-H-A-W-N, let me say that once again, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com. Also, Ruby, R-U-B-I, at guildcast.com, and we will go through your emails. Hopefully we can stay on top of them enough to where we don't need to have two email shows back to back again.
That would be cool. But the email shows are kind of fun.
Yeah, it gets us into trouble and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
But thank you, guys. Thank you for sending in the emails, because we really do like them.
Yeah, we do. And it's always fun. It's like having a big conversation, a little delayed conversation with, you know, people who have the like, you know, the same like-minded kind of love of the game and everything. So, yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. It's a way for us to speculate and talk about things we want to see in the game. So, yeah.
So.
Also, check out our Twitter and Facebook pages. And guildcast.wordpress.com for the show notes for today and for all of the episodes for this guildcast and for the old guildcast. There's a little tab that says old episodes toward the top, and you click on that and see all 96 of the old episodes in all of their glory. Actually, we've just completed it too, the final episode, number 74, which is an all video episode, which I might add premieres. Oh. It premieres Ruby. It's the first time we've ever heard from Ruby.
No.
So that is one not to miss. I'm going to watch the stats on that one are just going to skyrocket.
It's one that you've got to miss. You know, I've never watched it.
Really?
I can't stand to.
Oh, man. You have to watch it. It's actually kind of good.
No, it's too uncomfortable. I, like, cringe every time I just think of it.
All righty. Well, so that's it from us, and we will talk to you in a few days.
We'll see you guys at the end of the week.
Bye-bye. It's recording now, I think. Wait, let me stop.